Some of you remember the Verizon commercials. Do you hear me? Do you hear me now? Many years ago. Anyway, great to be with you folks. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to come and visit you all. I drove Friday because I wanted to do a little fishing in town and camped out at Lake Anita. You know, I like to camp out once in a while. So I camped out at Lake Anita Friday night. Some of you remember there were some big winds Friday night. I was in a little, you know, one-man tent. Technically, it's called a two-man tent, but that's for real little people. And, I about one in the morning, I decided, okay, I'll just sleep in the car. So it was a windy night. I got up about 11 o'clock, thought, you know, I better check and make sure there's no trees overhanging my tent that might just fall and I wake up in heaven. I mean, that'd be great, good for me, but Linda might have a few minutes of disappointment. So anyway, but great to be with you. So Andrew is my oldest. Andrew, some of you might recall, when he was little, was a very talkative boy. Energetic, friendly, and all of that. Very, and all of my kids were wonderful in their own different ways. But for some reason, okay, when I start the day, I get up, pour myself some coffee, sit down, have some prayer and some Bible study. And so, one morning, for some reason, don't worry, this is not a vision from the Lord. I'm not saying this, but for some reason, I pictured a Saturday morning where Lynn and I, you know, I've gotten up early and done some studying, then I get the coffee and we sit and chat while the kids wake up. And I kind of just pictured it's a Saturday morning, we're relaxing, and Andrew walks in the room. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Mommy. I don't know why it was Andrew, except that would be more his way than the other kids, especially Brandon and Caleb, who are more calm. I suppose Amanda might have done the same sort of thing. Good morning, Daddy. Good morning, Mommy. And I thought, well, you know, why don't I say that to the Lord first thing in the morning? Why don't I say, good morning, Daddy? Because, you know, there's a word that's used of God the Father that is very similar to Daddy. And we're going to think about that a little bit this morning. Since that time, I've actually, it's kind of corny to me, but I like doing it. I've said, good morning, Daddy, first thing in the morning, after I grab my cup of coffee. So we're going to think a little bit about this idea of every once in a while using the term Daddy in your prayer. Some people don't like using the term Daddy for a couple of reasons. Maybe some people feel it's not real reverent. Good thought in the sense of we want to always be deeply reverent to the Lord. We should never be irreverent with Him or His name or anything along those lines. We always want to remember His holiness, His awesomeness, and should never treat Him something frivolous or whatnot. Also, some people in the world use the word daddy in a very strange and incorrect way. But those, I don't believe those things should, especially, and the first one we'll even talk about why the word daddy is a very reasonable word or name for God. And so I'd like to show you why I believe it's reasonable to occasionally call God the Father Daddy. That might seem like a strange thing to talk about in a sermon, but I think maybe you'll find it a helpful part of your prayer life to occasionally refer to the Lord as Daddy or Abba or whatnot. So the first point is the term Daddy reminds us of how we actually do, or should anyway, relate to God the Father. That is the word. So most of us, let's do a poll. How many of you call And it's all right if you do. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just not as common. I'm looking at a bunch of adults. How many of you call your father daddy? One? Maybe two? Did I see a second hand? No, just one? Okay. Oh, two. There we go. And that's what I figured. A lot of, or not a lot, but some women continue to call their daddy, their father daddy. Very few men, but some men do. I know one or two who do, but very few who do, but totally fine that they do. Because the word daddy is a great word. It shows a lot of things, and it reminds us of, and especially as we relate to God as daddy, the term daddy, when you think about it, most of the time it's used by children. And so children tend to view their fathers very highly, right? So my kids, when they were teenagers, some of my shine wore off to my kids, right? they started seeing the truth about me. But my kids, when they were little, they just adored me. I'd come home from work, and they'd be, "Daddy's home." It wasn't just because Linda was excited and get a little help with the kids, but because the kids were glad that they'd see me, and I'd be home, and they'd run up to me, and they'd want to climb on my back and do horsey and everything else, and "Daddy's home." They were excited about that. They had a real respect for me, maybe sometimes a little bit of fear, a great adoration, a great love for me. They really enjoyed being with me. You think of what a daddy is to their little kids. He's protector. He's their teacher, their provider, they encourage their kids. They scold their kids, all sorts. Their earthly daddy is bigger. He's stronger. He's smarter. All sorts of things. He's so much bigger and better than their kids in a whole lot of different ways. And when we think of God, I sure hope we always are remembering that he's greater than us, that he is infinitely stronger than us, infinitely more powerful, infinitely more intelligent and smarter than us, greater than us, and in all of these ways. So when we think of how a little child thinks of their daddy, or thinks of their ideal daddy, then that's a good way for us to remember who God is to us. See, we're not like just a little bit less intelligent than him. We're not just a little bit less powerful than him. There's an immense difference. His power is infinite. His understanding is infinite. We will never reach who he is. And he is bigger, stronger, smarter, wiser to infinite degrees than us. And so it's right and fitting for those reasons to call him daddy. Also, when you think of the daddy, how he relates to his little children. Now, for me personally, I found it more, it may be physically demanding taking care of your little kids, but when they're teenagers, it's tricky. They get to be tricky because they're changing, they're gaining an understanding, they're needing to become to move towards independence. But when they're little, I just wanted to be with them all the time and just wanted to have them on my lap all the time. And your love for the children, you always have this great love. I still love my children even as they're in their 20s, or imagine this, Brandon and Andrew in their 30s. But just cherish their presence so much when they were little. Just, and you think of what your daddy felt for you when you were little, and you would go and you'd sit on his lap, and he enjoyed that very much. And I think of now with my grandkids, just love to have them come sit on my lap and read a book with them or whatnot. And Linda, today, our granddaughter, Millie, is sick, so Linda's going to take Forrest and just be with him all day long. She's so thrilled to be able to just spend some one-on-one time with Forrest. And our daddy, our heavenly father, has similar feelings for us, just loving and cherishing us. Some people are uncomfortable about the whole idea of God as father or daddy, maybe because they didn't have such great father. There are some of those in the world. There are plenty of those in the world, sadly. Most of us here had good or great fathers, right? My dad was amazing, still a hero to me. He's been with the Lord 5 years. Linda's dad has been with the Lord 3 years. Great men of God, grateful for them. But it may well be that some of you might have had dads who were not so good. And you might wonder, how can I go from this earthly father who was a jerk to having a heavenly father who was great? Some of you will remember a friend of mine, or friends of me and Linda, Gar and Julie Mabe. They lived with us for a few months early in our time here in Atlantic. And Gar grew up in a home where his dad was one of those dads who was not so good. And he would come home and drink too much and beat his wife and eventually beat his daughter. And eventually Gar would try to stand up for his sister and mom, and he'd get beaten up too. So he grew up in a home like that. And you'd think he, maybe Gar, would have had a hard time relating to God as father. But eventually, when he was a teenager, he heard the gospel and heard about this heavenly father who actually loved him as opposed to his earthly father. And Gar was the first one to run to the front of the auditorium and to put his faith in Jesus Christ and get this wonderful new relationship with his heavenly father. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how that can happen, and we're going to look in a couple of passages, Romans chapter 8. So one reason why it's fitting to occasionally call God daddy is because it can remind us of so many aspects of our relationship with him, of dependence, of his greatness, of his provision and protection, his great love for us, and so much else. Another is found in a very special word here in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And many people have likened this word Abba to be kind of like dad or daddy. We'll do another poll. How many of you who have had kids, their first, between mama or dada, their first word of the two that they learned was mama? How many of you, your kids learned mama first? I saw one. Okay, how many of you, they learned dada or a form there? Yep. Hey, you know, let's face it. The world makes a lot bigger deal out of Mother's Day than Father's Day, but maybe this sort of makes up for it, doesn't it, dads, right? We get a little payback here because they remembered dada first. Anyway, that's so common, and you think about it, dada, that's a whole lot easier to learn than mama. How about papa? That's another one, very easy to learn, papa. And the word Abba here is in an Aramaic word, but would have frequently been spoken in Bible lands in New Testament times. I've heard it suggested that Jesus would have spoken Aramaic. I'm not an expert on that. He would have, of course, known Hebrew as well and any other language he wanted to know, he being the Son of God. But this word Abba here is a very simple, simple word to learn. I'm told that's why a certain Swedish band took that name. Just kidding, ABBA, you know. Interesting. Forrest is my first grandchild, and when he was about one, he and I were particularly close. Nowadays, he's close to me, but particularly close to Linda. But at that time, he was particularly close to Papa. And so somebody in the Lord's Supper at his assembly, they go to another one, he was speaking on this passage, Romans 8:15, and this word Abba. He says, notice how easy it is to say the word Abba. It's very simple. Any baby could have learned to say the word Abba in Bible times, kind of like the word Papa. And Forrest's head shot up, and he looked around and said, Papa? Papa? He thought I was at visiting his church that day. Well, I wasn't, but that word Papa is simple to learn. The word Abba is simple to learn, even a little baby. And God loves it when his little baby Christians, or those who have been believers for many years, when we cry out to him, and we can cry out to him, Abba. And if we can cry out to him, Abba, I think we can cry out to him, Daddy, as well. It's a very similar idea. You see here in this Romans chapter 8 that we're free from sin's power in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. And we're free from sin's fear in verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but instead we have received something that is so precious, and that's the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So this morning I've been speaking to you as if we're all believers in Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's the case or not, but for those of us who, if you haven't, you can get saved even today, and it's simply through faith in Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have, we have been adopted into this family. So my friend Gar, I mentioned, whose dad was his human father was such a jerk. Let's face it, he was a jerk. He had another father before that day that he heard the gospel. And that other father was a bigger jerk than the one who used to beat up Gar. And you know who I'm talking about? 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, speaks of the children of God and the children of the devil. And if you're not a child of God, that passage indicates, then your father is the devil. He's even a bigger jerk than the guy who beat up his own physical human children. And that devil wants horrible things for his children. And he wants to cause trouble even to those of us who are God's children. But we've been pulled out from that family, from that father we had who was the devil, and instead have been adopted as children of God from evil, from abuse, from a torturous and vile father to a kind and gracious, loving, attentive, strong father God. A few weeks ago at our assembly in Dubuque, we had a baptism, a particularly exciting baptism. Some of you here know the Matheny family. Sam and Linda recently moved to Dubuque, along with Eli, their little adopted boy, and also Hannah. Some of you might know Hannah. Sam and Linda, one of Sam and Linda's daughters. Hannah and Josh, her husband, moved out there, and they have a family. They've got some biological, I forget, one or more biological kids, and they've got some adopted children. And I believe it was three of their adopted children were baptized at our assembly a few weeks ago. What an exciting day that was. It wasn't just them. It was a bunch of people. I think it was around 10 people got baptized. And each one had written out their testimony, and somebody read it, read the testimony when that person was baptized. And so the gist of the testimony for each of the three of Josh and Hannah's adopted children, the gist of it was something like this, and none of them gave details, and some were stronger than others in their language of what it was like before, but the gist of it was, I came from a really, really cruddy home life. And from the sound of at least one of it, you know, it was probably abusive, but they didn't really go into that. But a really, really cruddy home life. Taken out of that, and eventually I was adopted into Josh and Hannah's wonderful family, a family of love and warmth and affection, and where I was respected and treated well. And they were just so grateful to be taken out of something really rotten, taken into something that was really precious, this really wonderful home life. And then they also got adopted into the family of God, and now have another excellent father. They've got their earthly father, Josh, and their heavenly father as well. And what a wonderful and beautiful thing to be brought out of this crud and brought into something glorious. That's the case for all of us who are believers in Christ, who have received this great gift of salvation and this great gift of adoption. And if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, at least two of you in the Lord's Supper used a word, something brother. You remember what it was? Holy brothers. Is that it? Okay, that's right. We are co-heirs with Christ. And I was trying to remember recently, and preparing for the sermon, trying to remember a passage in the Bible that says that we are brothers of Christ. And I'm like, I can't think of anything, but it totally makes sense because we're co-heirs with Christ. We are children of God as he is the only begotten Son of God. So we recognize there's a difference, but we'll get to the idea of sonship soon. But here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Where can we get the idea of us being, of Jesus being our brother? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Isn't that great? So he is our brother. We are his brothers, or anyway, his brethren. Firstborn among many brethren, or brothers. And the firstborn indicates or reminds us there's something special about him and his sonship and such. Another passage is in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. My guess, some of you, your minds were already moving to this verse. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. Oh, yeah. All have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. He who sanctifies, those who are sanctified, have one source. That's why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. So we can call the Lord Jesus brother. We are co-heirs with him. We should maybe keep in mind a capital B. Maybe that's one good thing to keep in mind. But he is our holy brother, like we thought about. How about Galatians chapter 4? Galatians chapter 4. I'll start reading with verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. So there's, again, that word, Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father. And so we can pray that to him. Just a few highlights of this passage. Back to the previous chapter in verse 25, it says, Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. Sons of God through faith. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So God sent his son to redeem us, verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. There's that wonderful word again, adoption. Let's go on a little bit in this passage. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Now, so those of us who are men who are in Christ, we're heirs of God. But you women, sorry. Is that what this passage is getting across? No. In fact, okay. Have you noticed, maybe you've noticed, maybe not. More and more, I'm hearing the phrase sons and daughters of God. Have you noticed that a lot? I've been noticing a fair amount. I don't see the word daughters of God in Scripture. We see children of God. We see sons of God. Why in this passage does it only say sons? Don't the sisters get an inheritance too? I mean, surely you guys would get something, wouldn't you? So let's see. Maybe the context will give us some clues here. Let's go back to Galatians 3, the previous chapter, verse 26. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So, shoo! Boy, I was a little worried there, right? This passage is, the point is that everybody, whether you're slave or free, we are all one in Christ, whether you're rich or poor, black, white, some other race, we're all in Christ Jesus. Whether you're male or female, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And then those same people, whatever the race, whatever the, whether male or female, whatever, we are all in Christ Jesus, and we are all sons of God. So it says, for you are all sons of God through faith. So why would he say sons? Why wouldn't he say you're all sons and daughters? And in that culture, in that time, only the sons would receive the inheritance, not the daughters. In fact, if we had read, if the Holy Spirit had put in the mind of Paul to write sons and daughters, perhaps some would have gotten the idea of, okay, the sons get the inheritance, so what about us daughters? But instead, as we read the passage overall and see, oh, all of us are in Christ Jesus, all of us are sons of God in this passage, so all of us get this inheritance and are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's so exciting. I have some friends whose father just passed away and left a whole bunch for them. How exciting. I mean, sad for them that their father passed away, but so exciting that he planned ahead and thought ahead so that when he was gone, there'd be something real nice to help them. And guess what? We have a great something to look forward to as well. And we can be so grateful to that, all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Well, so we can call God Daddy because it's a fitting name in light of how we relate to him. We can call him Daddy because the Bible uses a very similar term. We can call him Daddy because Jesus himself used that very similar term on at least one occasion in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they went to a place, verse 32, called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. So here he is knowing he's very soon to go to the cross and endure tremendous physical suffering, knowing that our sin will soon be placed on him, knowing that he will be forsaken by his Father for a time as he's hanging on that cross, dying in our place, taking punishment that you and I deserve. He knows what's ahead, and he's distressed and troubled, it says. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." I won't use the word desperate, because I don't quite know to use that. But anyway, that seems not quite fitting, because we are talking about the Son of God. But It's extremely sorrowful, extremely distressed. It's upsetting what is ahead. And so there he is in a very upset frame of mind. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." And probably you and I don't remember when we were one or two or three, but when maybe some of us remember when our children were or our grandchildren were, and they would get really upset and they would cry out for mommy or daddy. We probably have memories. My granddaughter a few weeks ago was doing something and we were all cheering her on, but she thought we were laughing at her. And so she burst out and cried out, "Mommy," because she was all upset. She thought that we were making fun of her. We weren't, but she was upset. And Jesus had a holy upsetness, and he cried out, "Abba, Father," and we can cry out to him as well. Cry out to him. One more passage. We won't even look at it because we know the passage so well. It's Luke chapter 15 and the parable of the prodigal son. I like thinking of it as the parable of the prodigal sons, plural. Or the parable of the forgiving father, perhaps. Anyway, in this young son, he has the gall to ask his father, "Give me my share of the inheritance before you die. I don't want to wait." And the father amazingly gives it to him. And the son goes and he blows it. He wastes it all. And then he finds himself poverty-stricken and desperate. And finally, he comes to his senses. "I'll go to my father. Maybe he'll take me a servant, a hired hand, and he'll let me live with them in that way." And the father is standing, and he sees his son from a long ways away. And he runs to his son, and he hugs him and kisses, and his son is repentant as well. The son can even do that, can even express his sorrow and confession, he takes him back and he hugs him and he cares for him. And the father says, "Kill the fattened calf, let's have this huge party." And he welcomes this prodigal son back, and with this love and nearness and intimacy. And our Heavenly Father is still that way with us. When we do wrong and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And even when we're okay, he still loves to have us come to him in simple prayer and say, Abba, Daddy, Father, good morning. There's a hymn in the Black Book. Sadly, we don't sing out of the Black Book at my church. We do sing a lot of hymns on Sunday mornings, which I like, but there's a hymn number 33. Abba, Father, we approach thee in our Savior's precious name. We, thy children here assembling, access to thy presence claim. From our guilt, his blood has washed us. It's through him that our souls draw near to you. And in your spirit too has taught us, Abba, Father, thus to cry. Once we were wandering like prodigals in our folly, far away from you, but your grace abounded over sin and rescued us from misery. You have pardoned us prodigals, kissed us with a father's love, welcomed us with joy overflowing, even to dwell with thee above. And so we pray, Abba, Father, we adore thee. Could we sing number 33, please, in the Black Book?
Abba, Father, we approach thee in our Savior's precious name. We, thy children, here assembling, access to thy presence claim. From our guilt his blood has washed us, 'tis through him our souls draw nigh. And thy spirit too has taught us, Abba, Father, thus to cry. Once as prodigals we wandered in our folly far from thee, but thy grace o'er sin abounding rescued us from misery. Thou thy prodigals hast pardoned, kissed us with a father's love, welcomed us with joy o'erflowing, in to dwell with thee above. Clothed in garments of salvation, at thy table is our place. We rejoice and thou rejoicest in the riches of thy grace. It is meet we hear thee saying, we should merry be and glad. I have found my once lost children, now they live who once were dead. Abba, Father, we adore thee, while the hosts in heaven above, e'en in us now learn the wonders of thy wisdom, grace, and love. Soon before thy throne assembled, all thy children shall proclaim Abba's love as shown in Jesus, and how full is Abba's name.
Dear Father, dear Abba, Daddy, thank you that you are always with us and that you care for us and you love us and that we can pray to you and we can pray to you as Father or call you God or Abba. We thank you that you want to hear our prayers and that you enjoy hearing from us. Thank you that you are so great and so mighty and so powerful and so full of grace and mercy and kindness toward us. Thank you for this great gift of adoption. and that it came through your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible through him that we could become sons of God, that we would be your children, have a close walk with you, have a great inheritance and a great holy brother, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to be together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.